City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 449. I'm Amy Matheny, and it's the last show of the year. That's right. We are signing off 2011, and that means one thing, that we have to take a look back before we can take a look forward and take one glance back at the stories that were the biggest news stories for the GLBT community locally and nationally, internationally, and in entertainment. And of course, there's no better way for me to do that than with Andrew Davis and Kate Sawson, our managing editor and senior news reporter from Windy City Times. And they've had a bit of a provocative year as well, I must say. Windy City Times, our writers and staff, has been a bit under fire for covering the news this year, the way we've seen it, and with an investigative edge. And some people have not liked that, but we have done our best to bring the news to you through the newspaper, through our e-blast, if you're not signed up there, on our website, windycitymediagroup.com, and here at the podcast on the Windy City Queercast every week for 52 weeks. So we're winding down and we're going to kick it forward. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you make New Year's resolutions, but I really believe that 2012 is going to be a big year of abandon and abundance for me. And I don't know exactly what that all means, but it's feeling like 2011 has ended that way. And just a lot, you know, a lot. And so when a lot's going on, or it's happening really fast and it's really big, you just kind of can't grip down. You just got to go with the flow and relax your body and just ride downstream. No need to be a salmon swimming upstream, because I ain't a salmon. But we've got a lot of GLBT news of what's going on this week, and the news has continued. It's not a totally year-in-review show, because Kirk Williamson and I are bringing you the news, and a story about one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta literally stopped Kirk Williamson in his tracks in reading the news this week. He was so excited. And also, we've got one of our big Oscar hopeful films, The Artist, which Richard Knight Jr. is bringing us his review of that, and heard from Mitchell that it's magical, but we'll see what Richard Knight Jr. says. Mitchell Fain closing up his show, so you've got through New Year's Eve, folks, to see the Santaland Diaries. And then coming up in January, I'm going to be in a show, and I'll be telling you a little bit about that. And what's going on in the theater scene? A way to spend your New Year's Eve. What are you doing? Well, we've got a couple of options for you coming up in our coverage of theaters. So it's a really big show. Andrew and Kate with me sitting down for a little end-of-the-year time here in Andersonville. Having a little Middle Eastern food and talking about the year in review. So hold on to your hats and let's float downstream.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. The Department of Justice sent top attorneys to federal court in San Francisco to argue that Delmo's federal definition of marriage unconstitutionally limits Karen Galinsky's ability to secure health insurance for her wife. Galinsky's case, which began as a request to include her wife on her federal employee health insurance plan, has morphed into a challenge to Delmo.
In Massachusetts, Valerie Tebbets, the former head of the HIV-AIDS nonprofit organization Boston Living Center, pled guilty to embezzling more than $100,000 from the center because of an addiction to gambling. Tebbets pled guilty to three counts of larceny and one count of making false entries in corporate books. She was sentenced to 5 years of probation, must attend Gamblers Anonymous meetings, and pay $123,000 in restitution funds to the center.
In Mississippi, South Haven Mayor Greg Davis has officially come out after an investigation revealed he used city funds to cover personal expenses, including a visit to a gay sex shop. Davis, a Republican, has allegedly misused $170,000 on both city-issued and personal credit cards, 96,000 of which he has repaid so far.
The AIDS Healthcare Foundation has started an awareness campaign regarding a private boarding school in Hershey, Pennsylvania, that dismissed a student because he's HIV positive. The foundation has pledged to contribute up to $50,000 to the AIDS Law Project of Pennsylvania, who is representing the 13-year-old former student.
In a pretrial court hearing for Bradley Manning, the United States Army private accused of leaking thousands of classified documents, testimony revealed that he kept articles on gender identity disorder and used a female alias in internet chat rooms. An Army special agent testified that Manning, 24, had used the name Brianna Manning online. Manning's attorneys are reportedly seeking to establish his state of mind at the time of the alleged crimes.
The Log Cabin Republicans have rejected GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney's proposed marriage plan, but praised what they call his non-discrimination platform. They highlight Romney's record of openly gay people in his administration and judicial appointments.
A report from the American Journal of Public Health shows that in states where same-sex marriage is legal, gay men visit doctors less and their health costs go down considerably. The study covered a 12-month period starting in 2003 when Massachusetts became the first state to legalize the practice. It included more than 1,200 patients at a health clinic that provides services for gay men and other sexual minorities.
In a landmark victory for same-sex parents, Lowenstein Sandler successfully represented a gay interracial couple seeking custody of their twin daughters. The fathers, who were married in California and joined in a civil union in New Jersey, created embryos using the eggs of an anonymous donor. The sister of the non-biological father agreed to carry the pregnancy. After giving birth, she challenged the father's right to primary custody of the children.
A Colorado-based Girl Scout troop's acceptance of a 7-year-old transgender child has spurred three Louisiana leaders to resign and disband their groups. The leaders were affiliated with the Northlake Christian School in Covington, Louisiana.
Transgender man Mel Wymore has started campaigning for a seat on the New York City Council. If Wymore wins, he'll be the state's first transgender elected official.
In Michigan, Republican Governor Rick Snyder signed a bill into law that ends health insurance coverage for domestic partners of government workers. Equality Michigan said Governor Snyder told unmarried public employees that they could no longer care for their partners or children.
In Illinois, Springfield city government has voted not to extend health benefits to spouses in civil unions. It was decided as a cost-saving measure to not expand the benefits at this time.
In world news, Jamaican attorney Maurice Tomlinson is the inaugural winner of a new international human rights award named for murdered Ugandan gay rights activist David Kato. Tomlinson is involved in the unprecedented legal challenge to Jamaica's anti-sodomy law.
In Kenya, gay men are reportedly being lured from universities with promises of jobs only to end up as sex slaves. The prestigious Kenyatta University is a popular target. The men are often desperate as Kenya has a high unemployment rate. One man was promised a job in Qatar but ended up suffering violent sadistic sexual abuse. Qatar has no anti-trafficking laws.
Former Czech President Václav Havel has died at the age of 75. Havel, a playwright-turned-political activist, spent 4.5 years in prison for opposing Czechoslovakia's communist government before eventually becoming president of that country and of the Czech Republic when the country split in two in 1992. He was also an ally of the LGBT community.
In England, supermarket giant Tesco will not sponsor Pride London again after next year. The development occurred days after the Christian Institute asked shoppers to boycott the retailer.
In entertainment news, original Girl with a Dragon Tattoo star Noemi Rapace will be in Brian De Palma's Passion, a reimagining of the French psychosexual drama Love Crime, which co-starred Chris Scott Thomas and Ludovic Saganier. Rachel McAdams may also co-star. The original featured palpable sexual tension between the female characters.
Lady Gaga was the top-earning woman in music in 2011, earning $90 million in sales, endorsements, and a world tour. That's more than the earnings of number two Taylor Swift and number three Katy Perry combined. Gaga is also the Associated Press Entertainer of the Year, determined by whom editors and broadcasters think was the most influential person in entertainment and culture. Gaga edged the late Apple founder Steve Jobs by only three votes.
Mark Goldweber, a leading classical dancer with Chicago's Joffrey Ballet in the 1970s and 80s, died of lymphoma in Salt Lake City at the age of 53. Most recently, he was ballet master at Ballet West and director of Ballet West 2 in Salt Lake City.
Ellen DeGeneres has purchased Brad Pitt's Malibu estate for $12 million. The property consists of two separate houses, overlooks the Pacific Ocean, and has private beach access, a tennis court, and lush gardens. DeGeneres and wife Portia de Rossi put their own home up for $49 million and are downsizing from 15,000 to 4,000 square feet.
Jazz Bono has called off his engagement to Jennifer Elliott, his girlfriend of 6 years. Bono's rep says they leave this relationship with great love, respect, and affection toward one another. Bono's proposal was featured in the OWN documentary, Being Jazz.
Real Housewife of Atlanta Nene Leakes will play a swim coach on Glee for several episodes. Leakes' character will play a rival to Sue Sylvester, played by Jane Lynch.
Glad and HRC placed a full-page ad in Daily Variety as part of a campaign to educate the media industry and the general public around the upcoming ABC sitcom Work It. Work It involves two unemployed men. One dresses as a woman to get work at a company that is only hiring female sales reps. A meeting is confirmed with ABC to discuss the sitcom.
American Idol star Adam Lambert spent some hours in jail in Finland on December 22nd after being arrested outside a Helsinki gay bar for brawling with his Finnish boyfriend. The couple was arrested outside DTM, Don't Tell Mama, a gay club. The couple was later released.
And on Access Hollywood Live, gay singer Lance Bass used the word trannies, but he was quickly corrected by his co-host, who stated, "We're not supposed to call them trannies anymore." "Did you see that Neil Patrick Harris called them a tranny?" Bass replied. "Oh, no. Great. Now I'm going to get into trouble." And that's the Weekend News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. I don't give a fig what the box office numbers will be for The Artist, the delightful silent movie filmed in glorious black and white. And this is one time, okay, maybe not the only time, but I want you to listen to all these rave reviews, including mine. Drop your cynicism and see it, a movie that is so old-fashioned from beginning to end that it's literally a breath of fresh air. French writer-director Michel, Hazanavicius, maybe I got it, along with Jean Dujardin and Bernice Bejo, Hazanavicius' wife, I can't pronounce anything, have wrought what is essentially a silent variation on Star is Born, this time without either the tragic mystery majesty of the Garland Mason version, nor the phony rock and roll ickiness of the Streisand Christopherson 70s remake. The Artist, rather, is an effervescent, melodramatic, though gentle edition of the tale. It's 1927, and Dujardin, as the matinee idol George Valentin, finds that his glorious career, which he revels in, is suddenly a shambles thanks to the introduction of sound. During a chance meeting during the premiere of his last great success, George has accidentally met and fallen instantly for Peppy Miller, played by Bejo, whose moniker perfectly describes her zippy personality. In true A Star Is Born fashion, his career decline mirrors her rise. By 1932, broke, drunk, with even his loyal chauffeur, played by James Cromwell, gone, and only his faithful pooch for company, George is near the end of his rope when Peppy reappears, offering a happy resolution to his career doldrums. The affectionate tone of the picture, reminiscent of Singin' in the Rain, never falters, and not surprisingly, the cinematography of, oh no, here we go, Gwilaine Schiffman and Ludovic Force's music score are essential components to the movie's zippy impact. Here we go again. Has Zana Vishoff has avoided the gimmicky traps that a modern-day silent movie might imply, and he and his talented cast and crew have instead wrought a movie that flickers with the intensity of some of those enduring silent classics which inspired it, and which, if I don't miss my guess, it will join in that esteemed category. I'm Richard Knight Jr., who can't pronounce any French name, and that's your Not at the Movies Minute.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 26th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Ring in the new year with Remy Bumbo Theater. Their 7:30 New Year's Eve performance of Changes of Heart is followed by a champagne and dessert reception with the cast of Dreamy Lovers and their lip-syncing houseboy. Get your tickets now at remybumbo.org.
The Vic and Paul Show is an evening of comedy, music, marriage, and martinis. Former SNL writer Paul Barros and his wife Victoria Zielinski perform smart adult comedy that's a perfect holiday night out. They have fun with romance, marriage, satiric songs, and skits in the best tradition of Chicago sketch comedy and musical review. It's a limited engagement at Main Stage through December 30th only. For tickets, visit mainstage.com.
Steppenwolf Theater presents Penelope by powerhouse playwright Enda Walsh. Locked in a do-or-die competition, four Speedo-clad men connive to win the love of the beautiful Penelope. Penelope is playing now and runs through February 5th. Visit steppenwolf.org. Tickets start at just $30. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Old and empty house.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
The stairs creak as you sleep, it's keeping me awake.
It's the house telling you to close your eyes.
And some days I can't even trust myself.
It's killing me to see this way.
Cause though the truth may bury this, ship will carry on.
Well, everybody, who can believe we are here, the final podcast of the year, and we are doing our year in review with a little sweet and low, which is the way Andrew Davis and I like to do it, although we've invited Kate Soson as well to be with us, which is really cool. So it's cool to have our senior reporter and our managing editor on the Queercast with me today. Hey guys, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
We are doing well.
You are doing well.
But I do need my sweet and low.
We're hanging out in the Andersonville. We're not drinking Glog, not quite yet. I'm gonna move the non over here so you guys can reach it. So 2011, I mean, just both of you, is there just like a thought you have as to how this will be remembered for us as GLBT people? Is this a thumbs up year? Is this a year of big progress? Is this a sluggish year? What's just your gut tell you, Kate?
I think it's been a huge year, both forward and backward, but it's been
news-filled.
News
what I was going filled. To say. It's been very mixed. There have been a lot of advances, but then there have also been some things that have been a bit... not good for the community,
yeah,
I'll just say that.
Not good for the community. Well, let's start kind of locally, and this will be boring to those of you who don't live in Chicago, except we are trendsetters here in the Windy City. And,
yes,
you know, we end the year by putting Blago
away for 14 years, supposedly. We'll see. But what has it been like? You know, what's been the judge and jury out on us as GLBT people in Chicago? And what have been some of the victories that we've had as well?
Well, I think the biggest story of the year is probably the advent of civil unions, the beginning of June.
Yeah, we had a really great celebration of Pride where people could go and get civil unionized. I know many couples who did.
They did. And it started with a Unions in the Park celebration, Millennium Park, with 36 couples. Unionized,
yeah,
for lack of a better term.
It's
there.
Like immunized, isn't it? We're like unionized and immunized.
I know, what if I was saying civilly unified, I think, something like yeah. that. But unionized reminds me of simonized.
Or yeah. joined, yeah.
Or joined.
There's no good word.
Yeah. We need new language for the GLBT.
More that's
fabulous
next year's
language.
Big story.
Please, we need some new fabulous language.
Oh, I like that. They were fabulously joined.
Fabulously joined.
Ooh. Yeah, so, and we've had 1,800 couples in Cook County alone.
Wow, that's awesome. So, I wonder how that is in comparison to some other places that have civil unions and if we have kind of pulled our necks ahead and had more. That'll be an interesting statistic, I guess, when the year's done.
It will. So the other big story that sort of took up a lot of time was the mess that became known as the annual Pride Parade that led into this whole battle over Boys Town,
yeah.
which we talked about earlier.
Yeah, Kate, you came on a lot, and we talked about all the controversy, the Boys Town controversy, and it is really interesting that this amazing thing happened. It's the pendulum, right? This amazing thing happened in the month of June with civil unions, and then this it ignited this controversy within the GLBT community around class and race and
yes.
age and everything. Talk just a little bit about that, just to remind people kind of the spark that ignited it all.
Well, it started at the Pride Parade. The Pride Parade was nearly double the size that it has been in past years. It was so large that the neighborhood couldn't contain it, and fights broke out all over the neighborhood. There had been a stabbing earlier in the month, and shortly after that, community residents created a Facebook page called Take Back Boys Town. It was all about confronting what were these perceived increases of crime. And then, of course, the backlash against that was that those efforts were targeting minority youth who come into the neighborhood to access social services. So it became kind of this big debate that embroiled the LGBT community. And also, Windy City Times kind of got pulled into that as well.
And we got pulled into it because our reporting, people had problems or conflicts with how we were reporting, because
yes.
we actually did say that there actually had not been an increase in actual crime, at least statistically, at least what was reported,
mm-hmm.
what the data showed. And so it became kind of a hot mess for us, too. We got thrown under the bus,
it's a very
too.
Very accurate description.
Yeah. Yes. A hot mess. And at the heart of that, of course, was the Center on Halsted, too. I mean, I think they definitely took a lot of blows or became kind of the icon or the image of the whole thing, right? Or the scapegoat or the everything.
They did. And I think it's their location and the fact that they've only been there for 5 years. Mm-hmm. In people's mind marks this trend of crime is increasing the longer that the Center in Halsted remains there.
Yeah.
We haven't found any kind of evidence substantially to support that, but
yeah. We should also say the economy has tanked as well in the past 5 years, which also increases crime. What else going on in the city of Chicago?
Well, the big one that we haven't talked about is Howard Brown Health Center. Continuing with a rough year, they mm-hmm. came off of financial crisis last year
mm-hmm.
and asked for community help at the end of the year.
And we should just say, for people who don't live in Chicago, Howard Brown Health Center has been working
yes.
for years for GLBT health services, and then merged also with the Lesbian Community Cancer Project, being like a subset within, I guess, within that entity, and became a bigger entity. And then, once again, as I said, the past 5 years have been sued for many of us, not-for-profits, individuals, corporations with the economy. And they have felt that.
Yes.
And that's impacted our community.
Certainly. And then there have been some controversies at Howard Brown Health Center this year. We saw the turnover of 8 senior officials over the course of the year. The loss of a $1.6 million grant for transgender youth funding, lost for the Broadway Youth Center, which is sort of the youth organization under Howard Brown. And We reported extensively on those controversies as a result, citing unfair coverage. The CEO of Howard Brown Health Center, Jamal Edwards, announced that they were pulling all of our newspapers from all of their locations. So, and that is where things stand.
Yeah, we have been. We have been the, what do you call it, the radical media or the liberal media or something, I guess, this year, haven't we, Windy City Times?
Well, I think we're just doing our job, being investigative, and, you know, if we have something good to report, we'll report it. If we have something that's not so good, we have to report that, too. And unfortunately for Howard Brown, it's been a lot more of the latter than the former.
Yeah, yeah. And that's got to, you know, it's got to be tough because we're trying to hold accountable the organizations that we need to serve the community, and that's not a popular stance. You know, we're asking our politicians to do that in D.C., and they're not doing it very well. So, you know, you all are leading by example. The mighty team of Windy City Times. Any other stories that you feel pressing to talk about with Chicago before you move to a national level?
Few quick ones. The Catholic Charities case. Catholic Charities, a group of four of them lost their foster care contracts because they wouldn't place children with civil union couples. Mm-hmm. They lost a lawsuit over that against the state and gave up those contracts and then formed new agencies to take them on. We have the election of Rahm Emanuel with strong LGBT support.
Yep.
And the appointment of Mona Noriega, lesbian activist, to the Commission on Human Relations. And then finally, the loss of AGLE, which is the Advisory Council on LGBT Issues, was cut, including Director Bill Greaves,
yes,
the community liaison.
Who I did Bill Greaves' very first interview when he moved here.
Really?
In the late 90s on Lesbian Gay Radio. He literally got off his plane and drove straight to the studio, and I had the first interview with him. I was one of the first people he met in the city of Chicago after he was appointed to that job. So that is, to me, the end of an era, you know, definitely a decade worth of commitment and work. So, but I know Bill, and I know wherever he goes and whatever he does, it will have an eye to the community and all the skill sets and contacts and passion and activism he's always had for our community. So, good. So let's look on a national.
How could you do that? Because you told me you're 28 years old.
I know.
So.
I was very young. And it's
wow,
like Lady
precocious.
Gaga when she was playing in the clubs at 14. I was on the Lesbian Gay Radio at like 12. So, yes, I am just barely legal. It's true. So on a national level, this has been a big year, and as we look at like Obama's rating as GLBT people, some of the things he had said he would do actually got done.
Yes.
And we have not had a time with a president since I've been an adult where that's actually happened, that some campaign promises were kept. Talk about some of those, Andrew.
Well, I just think that the big thing, one of the big things that happened this year was the official repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell for LGB service members. Unfortunately, transgender service members still
not
have
yet
a hill to climb.
Yeah. And we followed Lee Reinhart all through, you know, a three-part documentary, three-part kind of documentary of his life, a very personal account of that. And that was a wonderful story for us to be able to cover and kind of a real personal, you know, real person's experience going through that. But a huge victory that has been,
I think so,
obviously decades in the making.
Yeah.
And a promise that was kept.
And a promise that was kept. And Obama has also appointed a variety of LGBT individuals to different posts. He's nominated them for judicial seats on the federal bench. So he has come through for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still that elephant in the room of marriage equality.
Yep.
And speaking of that, moving on from Obama a little bit, New York,
yes,
of course, had the big victory, which I think it obviously was a huge step forward, but there are still a few people who wish that this wasn't a state-by-state battle.
Right,
that was just a federal battle, and I can understand that. I mean, the whole thing with Prop 8 that's going on right now, and there's still some backlash in Iowa. People are trying to have that particular law
recalled.
Yes, because
all of those judges lost their elections
yes
this year.
Yeah. So I can't wait for next year for a variety of reasons. That the elections are just
going to... Well, it is a big election year,
yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, there's so much activity going on, much of it in our news the past couple weeks of mm-hmm. the gearing up presidential campaigns and the Republican candidates pulling in conservative GOPT people mm-hmm. into their fold. At the same time that they make videos about how we should, you know, Rick Perry, how we should be, we should be like, you know, not even recognized as walking, breathing organisms. But, okay, tell me what else. New York, exciting. Gay marriage in New York.
We could talk about Perry. Also, I mean, in the area of civil unions, you know, Illinois, but also Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
that kicks in January 1st.
Right.
Delaware and
yes.
Rhode Island.
Right, right.
So
Mitchell Fain's home state.
Oh, is it?
Kick it, yeah.
Kick it.
Yeah. Cute, cute, cute. Good, good, good. And that's what he always says.
Although, on the flip side,
yes.
your home state.
Yeah.
What is up with Tennessee? What's going on?
I don't know. It's just red. It's just the reddest state of all. And people don't think it is, but it is. And I live in the reddest county in the reddest state.
Do you really?
My hometown, yeah. Yep.
Sorry.
I think my family had the only Obama placard in the front yard, so there we are.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go home, though, for Christmas and gay it up and, like, really, you know.
Okay.
Just work it out.
It's good we got you that rainbow sweater, then.
It's good you got me a rainbow sweater for my office Christmas gift.
But Tennessee, yeah, has the Don't Say Gay bill.
Yep.
That would ban the mention of homosexuality from kindergarten through eighth grade.
Right.
And the state senate passed it.
Yep.
And so that's going to be voted on next year, so that in the House, so that should be.
Maybe we should all go Occupy Tennessee, not Ooh. Occupy Wall Street. Let's go Occupy. Let's let the gays go.
I'm
Occupy
going to Dollywood.
Tennessee. There you go. Exactly.
We need to
get
Dolly.
We need to get Dolly on this. Dolly could change minds.
Yeah, I'm sure she can. And then there's also the other bill that was signed by your governor, Bill Haslam,
mm-hmm.
that is basically an anti-gay bill that strips away protections for LGBT people, or previous protections that certain cities and counties had already passed in Tennessee. So the state bill supersedes any of those other bills.
Yeah.
And I'm just, yeah, it's amazing to me.
That's why we all moved to Chicago. There's a lot of Tennessee gays up here.
That's why I left Virginia.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Virginia, some of y'all don't even consider yourselves Northerners or Southerners or whatever. Depends on where you are. There you go. You're Virginia. I know.
Yeah,
I get
exactly.
it. The Virginians and the D.C.ians. Talk to me more.
But also, you know, I think a big political development is Barney Frank deciding not to run for re-election.
Once again, like the end of a time,
yes.
right? Truly, truly the end
of
a time.
I mean, he's so outspoken,
yep.
such a champion for LGBT rights. He reintroduced the ENDA this year,
yep.
including gender identity,
yep.
but he won't be around, unfortunately, to actually carry the banner. So, again, the elections next year are going to be interesting to see where things play out.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole redistricting thing has put a spin on it. On one hand, I can't wait for the elections. On the other hand, I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be under the ground. We will hardly see you once it all starts taking place. I know.
Actually, to stretch over to technology a little bit.
Okay.
An openly gay man heads Apple.
Right, Steve Jobs.
So now it's Tim Cook.
Right, handed his...
Who Steve Jobs handpicked before
right.
his death. And yeah, so I think that's pretty cool.
It's
I'm not
a
sure
revolutionary.
Many people know that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much that story has gotten out, but it has obviously in the GOPT community, but I think that's a huge thing for us to see. Like
mm-hmm.
one of the most innovative companies in the world is being run by an openly gay man. Not that that surprises probably any of us, but a huge thing to note.
Yeah, and then I also want to note two deaths.
Mm-hmm.
One, Frank Kameny,
yes.
gay rights icon, who actually was fighting for gay rights before Stonewall.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, I think, puts
mm-hmm.
things in perspective. And also Elizabeth Taylor.
Yep.
Legendary actress, of course, but also a legendary AIDS activist.
The first,
I mean,
really.
Her,
I mean, really
yeah,
the first
yeah.
to me. I mean, she is truly... the first mm-hmm. iconic face of, you know, when she stood up with Rock Hudson, that was the moment, you know, that was the moment where allies came and became such profound and passionate and fearless and tireless she was.
She really
around
was.
Her HIV AIDS work.
I mean,
and
her foundation raised $50 million.
Right.
And I don't know how much of this recent jewelry auction is going, because that raise was $116 million.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, her legacy is going to be enormous for continued HIV AIDS work, which is pretty astounding.
I think so.
Yeah. Now, on an international front, we've just had this beautiful, beautiful speech from our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who I am a huge fan of. And if you have not heard it, folks, I mean, my God, I'll hopefully die. You can post that again in our show notes here at the end of the year, because to me, it's the speech to end all speeches. We're already hearing the reverberations of countries now that are at least considering re-looking at their anti-gay laws, or just looking at GLBT people and the way their societies or their government are treating us as a community, and what a way to end the year, you know, to launch us into 2012 with like a call to action and consciousness for us globally.
Because you know how some people just casually mention gay rights. I mean, this entire speech was about LGBT rights.
With her slick back ponytail. I just love her. You go, girl. You get that hair back like you will ride the run this marathon. I mean, seriously, I was so impressed with that speech.
That was her action do.
It was her action do. It was her action do. But I mean, once again, there have been some really, you know, there are some things that are happening on an international level that are just jaw-dropping. And if we didn't report about them on in the paper, and I think on the Queercast, I think most people, you know, no matter, even if you did live in Tennessee, you've got it so much better than the stuff that's going on in Uganda and Nigeria and a lot of these other countries. So talk about...
Well, you mentioned that, and yeah, I guess compared to Nigeria, Tennessee is sort of an Eden.
Yeah,
exactly. It's all relative.
It is all relative perspective, right?
But yeah, the Nigerian Senate passed a law criminalizing same-sex marriage. Well, they already had laws criminalizing homosexuality.
Right.
But, yeah, a couple that's caught being married could get up to 14 years in prison.
Yeah.
I kid you not.
That's what happened with Blago fans. That's what I'm telling you. That's why the 14-year rule happened. It's really what it is.
He was
now
in Nigeria with another man.
Which one is worse?
Exactly. Which one's worse?
And you hear things like that, and you're like, wow. I mean, on a basic level, just being considered illegal for who you are,
right,
just thinking about that is sort of mind-blowing.
Well, and Hillary's been speaking out about that throughout the year, you know, and really making that something that the UN needs to address, and that our other countries need to say is not okay. You know, and at the same time, we have some of these countries that are electing, you know, openly gay leaders, intersex leaders, you know, transgendered leaders, and we're like,
Australia,
how far behind are we, right?
Yeah, Australia with the world's first intersex mayor, and Belgium has a gay prime minister.
Right.
Very interesting guy, very interesting guy. He dresses very flamboyantly. He does hundreds of abdominal crunches a day. He's a very interesting guy. And
sounds like the guy that we just saw that walked down the street here on Clark Street in Andersonville.
Which one?
Heading to the cheetah gym, exactly. That's exactly right.
There he is now, going into crunch. Mm-hmm. But yes, yeah, so we have had a lot of advances. Unfortunately, those advances have happened in places where you would think they would happen. It would be nice for something, an advancement to happen in a place that's, I don't know, in the Nigeria.
Right,
and
right.
So hopefully that will happen next year.
Yeah.
It would.
Well, it seems like Hillary's speech has impacted some of those African countries and you know, what is and isn't happening in Asia has less to do with GLBT people and more to do with even bigger, you know, human rights and some of the stuff that we're dealing with.
Yeah. I have to give a quick shout out, though.
Yes.
To the Norwegian lesbian couple that saved 40 lives. I, you know,
the guy
who shot about 70 people.
Right.
Earlier this
year. Right there in that, like, lake area, the camping area.
And they saved 40 lives while he was still shooting. Yeah. So just a quick shout out to them.
Yeah, that's why you want them all in the military.
Exactly.
So on the entertainment front, you know, this has been a big year for Lady Gaga. We're looking ahead to Madonna leading the Super Bowl. Rosie O'Donnell having her own nighttime talk show, thus proving that with Sarah Gilbert, Ellen DeGeneres, and Rosie O'Donnell that lesbians are taking over talk. Mm-hmm. Anderson Cooper having his own show.
No Oprah. I mean, she has own, but yeah.
She's puppeteering all of it, but yes.
Yeah. the talk show ended that. Yeah, that saddened a lot of people.
Yeah, the end of that. But it seems that, you know, but we have Rosie here in the Chicago area really seemingly wanting to be a part of our community and has only been here for a couple of months and has really been quite present.
And she's now engaged.
So that is all very, very interesting. Are there other entertainment stories that strike you from the year?
Yeah, actually, there was the whole thing with Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
Tracy Morgan.
Yes, I mean.
It seems like there's one a year, isn't there? There's just one comedian a year that just kind of fucks up. That just kind of fucks up with us gays, you know? I mean, it's been like decades since Ted Danson like screwed up with the African American community, but we have an annual like, you know.
Well, Neil Patrick Harris and that whole controversy recently.
We just did that. Mitchell Fain actually broke the story on that. He was very upset about that, with him saying tranny twice on the live with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Osbourne. Who also was a friend of the gays, not a gay, but a friend of the gays, and also, you know, had to kind of go, I am now relearning this language. I think it is cool for people to then have to amend that behavior, understand its impact, and learn that lesson, you know, and maybe that is then, I don't know, what do you think, Kate? Is that like then helpful to normal, I mean, not normal people, but the normies who think, well, you know, I hear that word, or... I'm down, I'm cool with it, you know, I'm cool with the lingo, and then to go, it's not cool.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of, gay people in particular don't necessarily always know the weight of that word, like, that it's a really awful slur,
But then you have, like, you know, I remember a few years ago, you know, we had Alexander Billings on our show, hates the word tranny, is a transgendered, beautiful, talented woman. But you'll have someone like RuPaul, who 2 years ago was very comfortable with the word. It does come down to what has happened with the word fag and faggot, what has happened in the African-American community, you know, with the N-word. I mean, it's like, you know, these words that it seems like a community for a while tries to own and claim and chew and kind of consume to take back its power, but it never fully kind of gets digested and consumed.
But do you ever think, and I'm just throwing this out there and the readers can let it marinate, but do you ever think that sometimes we're too politically correct?
I do, but I think it's really, important to hear how a community, I think language is always going to be controversial. Language is always going to be radical.
But the thing with the word, that particular word, is that it's not...
Which word?
Tranny.
Okay.
I just don't even use it. Like, I mean, the thing is, I don't think it's ready to be reclaimed. And if it is ready to be reclaimed, it's not by gay men. And I think that's the controversy, right? It's like the violence is so pervasive, the lack of progress that we've made in terms of transgender rights lags behind gay rights so far that I don't think it's appropriate to make an argument that if that word is upsetting to people, that we can just, you know, like, I think I defer to the people who are affected by it.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. I also think it's a generational divide, too. I also think that is... even what we had with other words, you know, and that there is this generational divide. And, you know, I definitely think about the recent debate that happened. I mean, Chaz Bono, definitely a story of the year, Dancing with the Stars, you know, and for not or for ill or for good, progress has been made by his putting himself out there, making mistakes, being not so slick. Being really human, having a human experience that he doesn't have language for quite yet. And, you know, and I think it's a very human experience, quite frankly, that he has made himself, laid himself vulnerable to. But then you have, you know, Annette Bening and Warren Beatty's son, a younger generation of a trans man, saying, please don't speak for me. Please don't, you know, say that this is a birth defect. Please don't say you are not, you know, you and I are not the same. And I think it does come back to the thing that just because we're all GLBT people, do we all have something in common? Just because me and another, you know, lesbian or lesbians, do we have anything in common besides the fact that, you know, we love women as opposed to loving a man? You know, and I think this is good fodder, you know, for the true diversity of us as people and not putting us as a community in a box. But I think, you know, on a basic level, there can be some generational divides around the navigation of, you know, I mean, just how many stories even Anderson did this year and Oprah did this year before she went off, and, you know, around trans youth. I mean, not even youth, children, trans children.
Oh, yeah, we have a strong community of trans kids even here in Chicago.
Right, yeah. And so I just think, you know, they're redefining the future for us.
No, because people ask, do you prefer to be called Black or African American? And I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, on the right day, you can call me Negroid. I don't care. It's just, but
you can call me Chocolate Lover.
Chocolate Thunder. That was my stage name.
There you go.
But, I'm joking.
Too much information that we get, but it's only the last Queercast of the year, folks. That's why you want to listen all the way through the very end, all 52.
But yeah, I know other people are a lot more sensitive.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I just tend to err on this side of being as politically correct as possible. But also, you know, you're honoring how people feel.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Any other entertainment story before we wrap up? Because this is
coming
about a full
out.
Half hour. Coming out.
You know, we have, I mean, they weren't huge actors who came out, but you had like Zachary Quinto who came out.
Yes, and Star Trek and doing
Star
Angels
Trek,
in America,
some,
Angels in America on
some
Broadway.
So Notorious.
Mm-hmm.
That Tori Spelling series is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was the guy who was in the Playboy Club.
Right.
Which lasted like 5 minutes.
Yes, shot in Chicago.
Unfortunately.
But there you are. But they have a Mattachine Society storyline, which is, I mean, once again, I'm saying, you know, sometimes we're not doing these things well, but they're in the consciousness. It's thrown into pop consciousness, into people's living rooms on, you know, a network television station.
So maybe we can have a Scientologist come out next year. I don't know.
Who knows?
No, then you get booted.
Aren't they all already kind of out? Well, it's been a really big year. I just want to let all of our listeners know that, you know, Kate and Andrew every week are the ones that help Kirk and I report the news to you of what's going on nationally, internationally in entertainment, and we just really are so grateful for what they provide to the Queercast and for you listening each week. And maybe in our next show we'll start looking ahead to 2012, making some predictions and seeing what the year is going to hold. So how about we do it same time next year, you guys, and we'll
Works
see what
me.
2012 brings for both of us. But
same
thanks
restaurant.
For thanks for being willing to be on the front lines and report the news no matter what it is. We really appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Hello, everyone. This is Catherine wishing you a happy, happy new year. I want you all, now listen to me very carefully, children. I want you to be careful about drinking. On New Year's, I'm not saying don't go have a couple of cocktails, because I'll tell you something. Back in 1954, I was at Debbie Reynolds' New Year's Eve party, and the only thing I remember is waking up naked next to Liza Minnelli's breasts. And let me tell you, her areolas filled my entire face. So if you don't want to wake up naked next to Liza Minnelli's areolas, then you don't want to get that loaded. But have a happy and safe New Year. You don't want to hit anybody on the road or sit on a Christmas tree. I'll tell you something else. I remember back in the 60s, when I didn't used to wear a brassiere, I went to John Candy's mother's party was a pool party that she had in Hollywood, California. And she invited all these Saturday Night Live people, Gilda Radner and Chevron Chase and all those people. And I was sitting there and I said to myself, so don't ever sit on a Christmas tree. That's what that meant. Have a wonderful New Year. And remember to drive safely and love each other and look forward to something exciting happen to you. Like Joan Crawford always used to say to me, Katie, why do you stuff a banana in your pants? Happy New Year.
Well, everybody, it's the last show of 2011 I'm signing off for. Mitchell Fain will be on with me in the upcoming shows, and we will take looks ahead before he hops on a cruise ship and heads around the world, as he's wont to do usually here in the first half of the year. But we'll be back with you, hopefully getting Coleman Domingo back on the show, trying to round up Miss Cleo so we can take a look ahead at all the great forecasts and the stories that could be coming up in 2012 as she sees them. And I hope that you and yours have a safe and fun New Year, and you'll be with me again. I sure do hope, but it'll be 2012. Wow, I cannot believe it's 2012. I remember when I was like 10 and I thought, God, what'll it be like in 2012? I'll be so... Don't say it. Don't say it. I'm not old. I'll be so young. I'll see you on the young side of 2012. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.